Amen.
What's wrong, man? What's wrong? I can't have altar time the whole service. Bring me back up there, mama. 2 Samuel 13, amen. And we're going to get started. By way of announcements, it's a regular week at Philly, so we will be having prayer, amen, Monday through Friday at 12 noon. We start at about 12:15. We'll have Thursday evening prayer, amen. And so that'll be going on. We usually, we had on the calendar, amen, a marriage night, amen, for Friday, amen. Well, what'd you say, man? All right. With y'all approval, we may need to push it back next Friday. All right, thank you, Miss Grace. At least one of them, somebody say. All right, we may push it back. We may have to push it back next Friday. Amen. And so, but we will have it, though. Good Lord, say the same, spare life in hell. Amen. Any other announcements, love? Anything else? Hallelujah. Remember, Revive Soul Show is coming, amen. That's November 11th. All right, so mark your calendar and get your tickets. Amen. So, all right, I guess that's about it, y'all. Let's go ahead and get cranked up. 2 Samuel 13, verse 7. The Bible reads, "Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, 'Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat.' So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour, kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him. But he refused to eat. And Amnon said, 'Have out all men from me.' And they went out, every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, 'Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand.' And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, 'Come lie with me, my sister.' And she answered him, 'Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. Don't do this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee.'" Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, you add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the exposition of your word. I pray that I would decrease and you would increase. You would fill me, God, with your Holy Ghost and your anointing. Break yokes up in here, God, all the way from the youngest of us in here to the eldest, God. We pray for a shift, God, in our people, in Christendom, in the church. We pray for a shift, a move, God. We pray for an eye opening, an awakening, God, to happen. We pray, God, that you would bless this word and accompany it, God, with demonstration of spirit and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Saints of God, we've observed, amen, in 2 Samuel, Amnon lusting after his own sister. And he couldn't do anything unto her because... Amen. They had safety mechanisms in place. The daughters of the Hebrews did not spend time with people of the opposite gender, whether they were family or not. They were kept safe. And so Amnon couldn't do anything, couldn't even get a conversation with his sister. That escapade was over before it began. Amen. But Amnon had a friend by the name of Jonadab. And Jonadab was a wicked friend, full of envy, selfish ambition, and flattery. He concocted a plan, amen, to where he could get Amnon and Tamar alone. And that's just what he did. Amnon pretended to be sick. David came to visit him. Amnon asked David, "Send my sister Tamar to come and cook for me at my house." And she did that. Amen. We talked about knowing your children. knowing their predispositions to sin. Amen. And if anybody don't think the Word of God is alive, amen, you're not from the planet Earth. Amen. Because we've been seeing this stuff come into fruition. We've been seeing it. Amen. And God is preparing his people to deal with their children. Amen. So our children can get a better start than us. Amen. But you got to be paying attention to your children. You really have to be watching those kids. Amen. So we talked about knowing your children and shepherding your kids and refusing to aid and abet them in their sinful exploits. Last week, we talked about the fact that Tamar went. And we said that Tamar should have told her daddy that she was uncomfortable if she was. Or she could have even refused to go if her daddy commanded her to go in a sinful environment. The second point, have all men out. Amen. Tamar should have left too. Amen. We should teach our children not to be comfortable alone with somebody of the opposite gender. We should let them know that, hallelujah, there should be a something on the inside that tell them, I got to get out of here. And so Tamar should have operated in that. Amen. We also talked about, amen, teaching our kids not to be green. Amen. Not to be so much in the church that they don't know what's going on in the world. But at the same time, we don't want to throw them in the world to experience everything because then we're going to lose them. And so it's a middle ground. Tell them, teach them. Amen. Give them your testimony when it's age appropriate. Amen. But don't let your children be green. But I also want to say this. Parents, you shouldn't be green. Amen. We got parents that's green these days. Now, they was living all kind of ways in the world. They get married and have children. They become the biggest geeks and nerds and the greenest people I've ever seen. And I can't understand that. But what I think is really all about is you not knowing the nature of man. You don't know the sin doctrine well enough. You don't know the depravity of man, the wickedness of man. You got to understand that sin lieth at the door. It sits at the door and it waits for a crack to rush in. And any crack you give sin is like water. It's going to find that place to seep in. Any crack you give sin with your kids, amen, is definitely going to get on in there. Amen. Saints, on point number three, we just talked about lie with me. We got a word tonight as well. Amen. And we're going to continue in chapter 13 tonight. And the title of this message is Name My Brother. Remember, it was our point from last week that we didn't cover. We're just going to continue it. Amen. But we're going to expand it a little bit. And from that one point, as I looked at it again, we can get 6 points from that one point. Name my brother is the first point. Second point, not in Israel. Third point, folly. Fourth point, shame. Fifth point, fools of Israel. And the sixth point, speak unto the king. Now, I may not get to all of that tonight, amen, but let's try to get to, amen, point number three at least. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so just remember, y'all, I'm not up here singing a song. And this is not entertainment. I really believe that God been giving us rhema word, amen. So don't you dare sit here saying this don't apply to me, my children, or my grandchildren. Don't do that, because you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. First point, name my brother. 2 Samuel 13:12. And she answered unto him, Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. As Ammon makes this advance, y'all, towards Tamar, she handles it so well. You know, last week we saw some things she could have did better. Not to say it was her fault. Remember, it wasn't her fault. We just was tidying up on the word and just drawing some things out of it. Amen. So if any young person or single person or even married person found themselves in the same situation, they can glean some tools to get out of it unscathed. You see what I'm saying? But it wasn't Tamar's fault. But this week, we're going to look and we're going to see she did some things very well. All right? Very well. And the first thing she did well, look, she says, "Nay, my brother." What that means, amen, in hoodology, amen, in hoodish, not English, hoodish, that means ain't nothing shaking. Come on, say it with me. Ain't nothing shaking. Now, Sambut, I put that up there just for our people who have the proper grammatics, amen, so they could see it right. Y'all got that, Sambut? Put that up there for me. Y'all see it? Let's pretend like we see it. All right, here we go. Ain't nothing shaking, all right? All right? All right? That's what she told Amnon. It's not happening. Nay, my brother. In other words, she said, no. And to me, this is how we're supposed to deal with all sexual immorality, Christians, Hebrews. It's kind of like that drug campaign that came out in the 80s and the 90s. What was it? Just say, yeah. Boy, if we could do that with fornication. Boy, if we could do that with adultery. You see what that thing did to drugs? It didn't stop it altogether, but it slowed it down. All right? You see what a government campaign against cigarettes did? Amen? How much it slowed down smoking? Boy, if we could do that against sexual morality, huh? Somebody say, just say no. When I say sexual sin, I want to talk to everybody in here. I want to talk to our kids, our youth, which I'm so happy to hear tonight. I want to talk to our singles. But I also want to talk about our divorce, our widowed, and even married folk tonight. You see? The answer to your problems with sexual sin is you not saying no. All right? Every single one of you. We got to just say no. You see? Whether it's fornication, intimacy outside of marriage, whether it's adultery, you being with somebody that's not your spouse, or with the spouse of another, whether it's homosexuality, you being with somebody, intimate with somebody of the same gender as you, whether it's pedophilia, being with kids, incest, being with relatives, rape, being with somebody by force. Whatever it is, amen, when that temptation comes upon you, you have the power and you have the right, Christian, Hebrew, to just say no. And that's going to be the end of that. That's going to be the end of that. You see? We got to be like Joseph, y'all. When Joseph was in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife came upon him. Look at Genesis 39 and 7. I'm going to put it up there for y'all. Genesis 39 and 7. Remember, she say, nay, my brother. She say, no. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. Joseph was a fine Hebrew. Amen. Administrative. He worked hard. Amen. And he was making the house money. And his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, began to check Joseph out, began to look at him, all right? And so the Bible says she cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. You see? She wanted to commit adultery with Joseph. She was married. It's wrong. The Bible says in 39:8, amen, look what it says, but he did what? But he refused. Joseph said no. And to make a long story short, amen, he said, listen, I can't do this to God. You see? And the story goes that she caught David in the house one day and grabbed him by his coat and said, lie with me. She was trying to get him by force, looked like. And the Bible said Joseph came out of his coat and ran out the house. You see? You got to just say no. And then sometimes you're going to have to learn how to run. The Bible says flee fornication. Come on, give God some glory. You see, we can be like Joseph or we can be like Samson. Now, you know the end of Joseph's story. He rose all the way to the top, second in command in Egypt. But Samson, with all his gifts and talents, his anointing, him called to be a savior with a small s, a judge of Israel, with all of that and all of that potential, Samson ended up at the very bottom in a jail cell, amen, blind, with no strength. And I'm going to tell you what it was all about. Samson couldn't say no. Samson couldn't say no. Now listen to me, I know by the Spirit we got some singles in here that just can't say no. Some women and some men. I know by the Spirit in here we got some youth that just can't say no already. You see how I got quiet? I'm not talking to you about what mama know or daddy know. I'm talking about what God know. All right? All right? We're going to get deeper into it. Listen, your children are going to hate me after this message. And some adults will too. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want me to tell them about this? When the closet again be. I said, what do you want me to tell them? You know? What would you say, God, if you had all your people and they being tempted in this sensual, hallelujah, just saturated world. What would you tell your people, God? All right? This is what he told me. Tell them every time they choose me over sexual immorality, tell them I will bless them. Every time. Every single decision, from to look at a woman, to look at a pornographic site, to look at a dirty magazine, to ask a woman for her number, to touch somebody that's not your husband or your wife, to go with them to that room, to be with them in that dark place. Every time you make a good decision not to sin against your God, God told me to tell you that he gonna bless you. All right? All right? Every time. So my question for you tonight, after he gave me this, I want to ask you, what do you want from God? What you want from him? What do you want from God tonight? For your future? Huh? If we can just cast in. What would that future look like? Huh? What do you want from God 5 years from now? 10 years from now. What do you want from God for your finances? What do you want from God for your job or your business? What do you want from God for your marriage? Huh? How you want that to look? Amen? Or your future marriage, your future husband, your future wife. What do you want from God tonight? Because every time you make a decision for God to obey him, God's going to bless you and he's going to bring you a step closer, amen, to what you see that vision is. Amen? Listen to me. You got to hear me. What do you want from him? What do you want from him? All right? Somebody, look, out of the mouth of babes, somebody say, mama, listen to him, mama. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right? What do you want from God? Because I'm going to tell you, it's blessing time right now. All right? It's blessing time right now. Oh, they don't know, babe. It's blessing time right now. But pastor, why do I feel the pressure of testing and temptation? Because when it's blessing time, usually it's coordinated with testing time. Hey! I'm trying to preach it. I'm doing the best I can, Dele. Blessing time and testing time go hand in hand. I'm revealing to you the syllabus tonight. I'm trying to show you, amen, what our professor, Professor Jesus, is doing in the classroom. This is study hall tonight. All right? All right? What do you want from God? A lot of the times, we don't have enough discernment to see testing and blessing on the same table. So what we do, we fail the test, and we never get blessed. Oh, come on now. What do you want? The answer is pass the test so you can get blessed. Leave that young man alone. Leave that young woman alone. Leave that. Look, they got a single woman who have been praying here for a husband. Listen, you've been failing the same test. You've been in the fifth grade for 20 years. You can't get past the exit exam. And all he's waiting for you is just to pass that test. Now, listen to me. You got to understand, when you ask God to speak, it always have to line up with Scripture. Can we see in Scripture a principle to corroborate what I heard in my prayer class? That if you, amen, look what he said. Listen. Every time, amen, they choose me over sexual sin, sexual morality, I will bless them. Do we see a consistent rule in Scripture, amen, that when you obey God, that God going to send the blessing? All right? I see it in there. Listen, let me give you an example. There's a story about Abraham and his son Isaac. And God gave a command to Abraham. And he told Abraham, he said, Abraham, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou love. Ooh, God have mercy. It's like God reminded him how important it was to him before he asked him, take him and bring him up to this mountain that I'm going to show you. You see? And God told him, amen, that he was going to sacrifice Isaac. You see? And Abraham heard the order and he obeyed it. Brought Isaac up there. Isaac said, Daddy, what a sacrifice. Abraham said, the Lord going to provide himself a sacrifice. Don't worry about that. You see? And Abraham was about to come on down and fulfill the command of God. And the angel stopped him. Touch not the lad. But listen to what the Lord told Abraham after God saw him being obedient. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. God says, I'm swearing on something. And I can't swear on nobody else, so I swear on myself. Listen. For because thou hast what? Done this, because you've obeyed me. This is what I'm going to do. And hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Look what he says in 17. He says, listen, I'm going to do some things for you that in blessing I will bless thee and multiply. How many people need to be multiplied? How many people need to be blessed? How many people, listen, in blessing I'm going to bless you. And in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Nobody going to be able to beat you. In verse 18, look what he tells him. He says this, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And just in case you don't know why God is doing it, he tells you again why. Because thou hast obeyed my voice.
What do you want from him tonight? What you want from him tonight? Then just say no. You and that little boyfriend living together? He come by you tonight, you look at him, you say, just say no. We're not married. It's fornication. A man come by your job when your husband not there, you look at him, just say no. They're not worth you forfeiting your blessing. They're not worth that. That little minute. Listen. Help me, my love. Listen. When we engage in sexual sin, we plan Esau. We plan Esau. We selling our birthright for a bowl of pottage. Something that we eat and is gone. Tastes good for a second, then it's gone. But the blessing and the birthright was to last forever. The Bible talks about the momentary, the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm praying that God will renew our minds in here, so we can see the transitory nature of sexual sin and stay far away from it. And not hallelujah, I can't find another word. Not prostitute our blessing. How many blessings have you given away? Why are you in the situation you're in right now? But the good thing about God, he's the God of a second chance. He brings us a word today to tell you, amen, this is why I'm upset. This is what you can do, amen, and we can make all things new. She said, no. The breakthrough, the blessing will only come after the test. Oh, I know a little man of God being tested right now. Huh? Married man being tested right now. Been asking God for some things, a house, a car, a better marriage. Being tested right now. God is saying, do you really want this or do you want that? Oh, have mercy, somebody, have mercy. You see? Even Jesus had to go through this principle. The testing before the blessing. I'm just trying to prove what I heard. You don't go in the closet and ask God for something and you hear it and don't match it with scripture. All right? That's extra biblical. So is there a principle, if I obey him, I'm going to get blessed? Jesus went through temptation. And it wasn't until he got through temptation that he received the fullness of his ministry, power, fame, and publicity. It only happened. The blessing only happened after the testing. In Luke 4:13, and when the devil had taken, hallelujah, when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned after the temptation in what? In the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him, where? Through all the region round about. I wonder if there's a young man in here waiting for a ministry. A young woman trying to be used by God. Or you're passing the test to get the blessing. God said, listen, every time you choose me over sexual sin, I'm going to bless you. Every single time. No, Lord, you turn that computer off. No, Lord, I'm not watching that movie. No, Lord, I'm not calling her. No, Lord, I'm not going by that. No, Lord, it's not happening. I guarantee you a blessing is coming right around the corner. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. She said no. Second point. She said not in Israel. 2 Samuel 13:12. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me. For no such thing, here it is, ought to be done where? In Israel. I love the reason that Tamar gives here, not to commit sexual morality. She said these things shouldn't happen in Israel, amongst the people of God, amongst the Hebrews. Our day would be amongst the Hebrews and amongst the Christians. Certain things should not happen. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, it just shouldn't go down like that. All right? All right? She was telling them, look, Amnon, this ain't for us. This is how the other nations act. This is how the people who don't know God act. This is how the heathen act. This is how the people, amen, who are atheists, that's how they act. These are the people stuck in false religion. This is how they act. This is how the unsaved act. This is how I used to act before I knew Jesus. This is how people act that's not raised in a Christian home. This ain't for us. This thing ought not to be done in Israel, he said. Oh, come on. I'm trying hard tonight. Listen to me. Some things not to happen. Not supposed to happen. In the midst of the people of God. You see? Now if you're a heathen tonight, if you're unsaved tonight, if you know not the Lord, all right, then you act in the way you're supposed to act. But if you claim to be a believer, if you claim to love Jesus, if you claim to be on your way to heaven and not on your way to hell, there's some things that we just don't do. You understand what I'm saying? We don't get down like that. All right? Now for the other nations, listen. Tamar was saying in Israel that don't happen. The other nations, they doing all kind of stuff. That's how the other nations get down. If you know your Bible, in fact, God kicked the other nations out the promised land because of certain sinful activities, and especially sexual immorality. They were cutting up. All right? I'm going to give you a taste of Leviticus 18:1-4. But to keep it clean. Amen. I'm going to summarize what he said. All right? I know we got kids in here. I have kids sitting up in here. But I still want them to know, amen, as much as they can understand what I'm saying right here. Yeah. It's important. This ain't R-rated, this ain't X-rated. In fact, some of y'all letting them watch movies way worse than this. But we're going to get to that in a second. All right? So don't come here talking about, oh, pastor, getting too, all them commercials your children watching? And the movies they watching while you watching movies? Don't come here with that. Don't come here with that. In fact, they need to get this from the Bible. I'm preaching the Bible. They need it. If they're not learning here and with you, where are they learning at? If God's not teaching them about this, who teaching them? Then it's the devil teaching them. You would not rather them be anyplace else talking about this than with you sitting down with your family, with your pastor, with the Bible open in the presence of God here. You don't want them anyplace else. All right? All right? So let's get it. All right? Leviticus 18:1. The Lord said to Moses, I'm doing it in the NIV. Hallelujah. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites. I just love that. The Hebrews. And say to them, I am the Lord, your God. You must not do as they do in Egypt. Oh, that's where we live in. Where you used to live, but we're in the second Egypt right now. You must not do as they do in the land of Cana. Don't do like they do in Egypt. Don't do like they do in Cana, where I'm bringing you. Do not follow their practice. That's good for them, but that ain't good for you. All right? You must obey my laws and be careful to follow my decrees. I am the Lord your God. I love this. I love this. I love this. Hebrew, watch them people on TV. Hebrew, go to school and see them people. Christian, watch what they're doing all over the place. Watch that. All right? But know one thing. You better not act like that. You better not act like that. All right? You know how we get down with other people's children. All right? Other people's children could wild out in Walmart. Amen? Cut up with their mama. I want. Hit their mama, you know. Tell their mama all kinds of stuff. Jen, like, Jen about to get hood right now. All right? Listen. Listen. And all we do, big brother, when we see that, we go, and if it get bad enough, we look at our kids and say, you tried. I'm looking at that, and I want to hurt somebody. You... My kids will look at kids that do that type of stuff, look at us and say, oh, he need a whipping. That's what Grace will say. Grace said he need a whipping. Like, she want to give it to him. Daddy, she, that he need a. You know? All right? Yeah. But that's other people's children. But let your children act like that. Now let me bring that to us. Christians, Hebrews, listen. The mother children could cut up how they want. God ain't gonna let you get away with that stuff. Not in Israel. You shouldn't be watching that stuff on TV anyway, but as you're watching that stuff, you think now somehow you're going to do what they do, not in Israel. Man, God will hurt you, man. Man, God will hurt you, man. Break you off something. You see? Not in Israel. In this same chapter, please read it on your own time. He begins to talk about the things that the nations in Canaan were doing before he kicked them out. All manner of fornication, adultery, and sexual perversions. And God was telling them, listen, don't be like them because they cutting up. They having relations with relatives, close relatives, cousins, first, second cousins. He said, the people in that land having relations, intimacy, parents and children. Step-parents. Step-children. The people in that land having intimacy, brothers and sisters. Half-brothers, half-sisters. Having relations with their aunts and with their uncles. With their in-laws. Sister-in-law, brother-in-law, son-in-law, daughter, mama, mother-in-law. He said, read Leviticus when you get a chance. God is saying, listen, it's running wild with the neighbor's wife, the neighbor's husband. He said, man with man, woman with woman. Say, before I'm coming through that with Israel, listen, they getting it with animals over there. That's how the other nations act. And listen to me. You like, oh, they were doing that? They doing that today in America. Don't you dare hold your breath. Let me show you some slides. Not too many, not like that. All right. Yeah, look at that. Woman say, I'm in love with my son. Let's keep, come on, flip it. We don't want to think about it too much. Vice president, marrying two men. This is Leviticus coming to life. Come on, flip it. All right? A mom and a son. They look alike, too. Keep on going. A man that married a cow. He done married him a donkey. In fact, go ahead and research in Canada. That's all I'm going to say. Y'all think I'm lying, huh? Listen, that's how the nations that don't know God act. That's how they act. They've been acting like that. But what we don't know is that God, now look, watch me. In Leviticus, the same chapter, he said when they started acting like that, that's when I vomited them out of the land. I spewed them out of the land. Oh, this should get real serious, right? You see, the earth can only take so much sin on its surface. I'm getting deep right here. The Bible said the earth groaneth, is uncomfortable with iniquity. And we get into the same place. We get into the same place where we were. Oh, America. God shed his grace on thee. But you're allowing all kind of wickedness to go down. And we just don't pray for revival. We desperately need a revival. All right? Because if we don't get a revival, God is going to destroy those lands where the wickedness and the iniquity have come to a full place where God can't stand it no more. The earth can't take it no more. The land is going to vomit up the people. Oh, y'all don't hear me up in here. I'm just not talking about from a global, geopolitical, historical standpoint, Brother Michael. I'm talking about from a biblical, spiritual, knowing the character of our God type of thing. You think God going to allow all this wickedness to go on unchecked? Listen to me. While the earth is getting worse, Christians, Hebrews, we got to get better. Oh, we got to get better. We got to get better. We got to say, not in Israel, not amongst the Christians, black, white, Latino, not amongst the Hebrews, amen? Not amongst us. We're not getting down like that. Not getting down like what? No fornication. No adultery. No homosexuality. No bestiality. No incest. No rape. None of that stuff. Because when judgment comes, God will never destroy the righteous with the wicked. He'll never destroy the righteous with the wicked. He told us that the end is going to be like the days of Noah. But guess what? The righteous were spared in the days of Noah. He said at the end is going to be like the days of Lot. Guess what? The righteous were spared in the days of Lot. Oh, I'm trying to preach up in here the best way I can. Don't let it be in Israel. Listen to me. Let me tell you now. Let me tell you. This is where the devil has the Hebrew people. Right here. Sexual sin. I'm preaching to you, telling you, don't let it be named amongst us, but the truth is, it already. We got some undoing to do. In fact, I don't have time, but I had all the scriptures ready, Jeremiah and everything. The reason we got kicked out of our land, the reason why judgment came upon us, amen, is because of sins, but predominantly because of sexual sin. The Hebrews got some issues in this area. Oh, yeah, I'm singling it out. You know I'm going to keep it real. All right? Look what he said in Jeremiah 5:7. Come on, let me just take a little more time. Y'all still up? Jeremiah 5:7. Let me show you the problem, hallelujah, Hebrews, black folk. Let me show y'all a problem. All right? How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. That's idolatry. That's one problem. But look what else. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops. They was lined up. Where? At the harlot's house. Well, God keep it real, Brother Grove. God said, I see all that. I see all that sexual sin. God said, how should I pardon thee for that? Look in verse 8. Look what he said. Well, God is so real. He says, they were as fed horses in the morning, everyone neighing after his neighbor's wife, like some animals. One being with this one and that one being with that one. Y'all know how it is on the street in the club. It's like musical chairs out there. Look at the next verse. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Then he says, go up upon our walls, take away her battlements. That's when he, through the Babylonian kingdom, the king Nebuchadnezzar, took us out of our land. All right? Same thing happened when the Greeks and the Romans came through. Man, if you get a chance, go ahead and read the Maccabees and read about how the Hebrews in the book of the Maccabees were so anxious to put away the Old Testament Hebrew purity laws and adopt the Hellenistic, Greek, heathenistic ways of living. And one of the first things they did in Jerusalem, one of the first things we did in Jerusalem, was build what the Greeks called a gymnasium. The book of Maccabees talk about it, 1 Maccabees to be exact. Now, if you understand Greek sports, Olympics and decathlons and stuff like that, they didn't participate in those sports in, somebody said it, they didn't dress modestly. If you know history, you know all the Greek statues, what they wearing. The Hebrews built gymnasiums because we was good at sports. But we was up in there and it was more than sports going on up in there. Sexual immorality. I'm trying to show you a problem. A problem that Jacob had when he took on more than one wife. A problem that Abraham had when he took on more than one wife. A problem that David had when he sinned with Bathsheba. A problem that Solomon had when he took upon himself somewhere, 1,000 wives. I'm trying to show you a line that runs all the way from Jacob, hallelujah, from Abraham, amen, the kings, amen, all the way through the New Testament, amen, all the way to today with the Hebrews. This battle, this struggle with sexual immorality. I done had about enough with it. Why, Pastor? Because it has us in the predicament that we're in right now. All right? Because young men can't keep their pants on. And ladies can't keep their legs. We have a 72% rate of single-parent homes in the black community. 72% of our kids born in single-parent homes. That's 7 out of 10. If we have 700 people up in here, listen to me. We talking, amen, 70% of the people here, in here, all right? 70% of them, amen, that was born in a single-parent environment, all right? My wife said, listen, if we made all the single-parent homes stand up, we'd be surprised. If we say, if you're raised in a single parent home, or your parent was raised in a single parent home, stand up. We'd have a lot of people standing up in here. Pastor, why is that a big deal? Well, if you're born, hallelujah, to a single parent home, it's because of sexual sin. That's the root. You stop the sexual sin, you stop the single parent homes. They gonna wait till marriage, amen. Now you got two parents in the home, all right? So what is the problem with just having a mama in the home? Or just a daddy? Well, God made it mama and daddy for a reason, amen? Because the daddy can give something, and the mama can give something, amen? And it work out best that way. Now, of course, his grace is sufficient sometimes. I understand that he's going to be with some mamas, amen, to raise up some brilliant kids. But even those brilliant kids could have been better with a brilliant daddy in the home. Listen to me. All right? So because of that single parent stuff, all right, we got boys with no daddies. Boys with no structure. Boys with no authority. Boys with no deep voice and no muscle in the house telling me, boy, if I hear you talk like that to your mom, boy, I am, boy, listen. Oh. But we don't have that. So our jails are full. Ooh, because if they won't be raised home. Oh, listen. Mr. Officer going to raise them, yeah? Mr. Officer going to raise them with the taser, with the baton, and if they don't obey well enough because they ain't never heard a command from a male voice, he going to even put the six shooter on them. All because they don't know how to get down when they say get down. The root of it is you can't keep your pants on. So we dying. We dying. Jails full. Single parent homes. No structure. Without structure, you ain't staying in school long. Now you done dropped out. Now you're selling dope because you ain't going to make no money no place else. End up dead or in jail. 72% of black kids born in single-parent homes. Pastor, listen, what's the big deal? Let me show you the other races. Put them all up there. Native Indians, 66%. That's high, but that's part of the same people. Hispanic, 53%. That's high, but that's part of the same people. Listen. Our European brothers and sisters, Christians, look how many single-parent homes they have. 29%. 3 out of 10. That's why when I go to the hospital with my wife to have my baby, amen, they trying to put me out the room. Because out of 10 black families that come, only 3 of them married and got mom and daddy in the house. Man, listen, I got to keep going, yeah, but listen. This is why we have child support troubles. Because we can't say no, all right? And because this thing shouldn't be happening in Israel, but it is, all right? Listen, I pull up an article, man. I got a picture of a brother, man. Amen. This brother, amen, got 34 kids. Now this is just, that's just dolls up there, yeah. But they was like, wow! They all the same age. I'm telling you, we related to Solomon. Listen. Brother got 34 kids with 17 different women. Houston, we got a problem. Just imagine how much that child support is. All right? So we got those troubles. Guess what other kind of troubles we have because of sexual morality in the hood? We 12% of the population, but we have 44% of the HIV cases. We just 12% and we got almost half the HIV cases in America. We got the highest rate of AIDS. My people are perishing for a lack of knowledge because they can't say no, because they can't look at the bowl of pottage when God got their birthright, their blessing. They can't say no to a bowl of pottage. You know? You ain't had nobody like you before? Huh? People could like you and you not sin with them. People could like you and you not sin with them. You ain't had nobody like you before? You lose your mind because somebody like you? Think you pretty or you cute? Now you got to commit adultery with them? You ain't got to do that. You couldn't have love for them, unfeigned, pure, in the Lord. This is our struggle. This is our struggle. You know when we was talking about the ills of a people? I was talking to you about envy and the crab-like mentality. If we was putting together a book, a collage of the problems of the Hebrew, this would be one of the first chapters. Sexual immorality. This is the mountain right here. This is the mountain that we're going to need God to move, y'all. Listen, listen, I'm telling you. Oh, man. And look. It don't mean that we're worse than the other nations, no. Because, Brother Michael, Mr. Dwight, every nation have their stuff, yeah. Just like every individual have a predisposition, the nations have a predisposition. And it don't mean that everybody in that nation got that struggle. Y'all with me? But as we take it as a group in global, we can say that as a group, sexual immorality is the Hebrew thing. But other nations have, they struggle with pride, wanting to be the boss, you know, selfishness. Other nations, I'm not going to name them, struggle with unbelief, atheism. Whole nations where the gospel can't penetrate, can't get through. They just, as a nation, as a people, they can't believe spiritual things. It's not that we somehow are worse of people. That's just our mountain. Now, the problem is when you don't know the mountain of your people, all right? And you're just operating like everybody else and you don't know your struggle. You see, because when you know your struggle, when you know better, you could do better. All right. If you know you got a problem with alcohol, you won't be to the bar. All right. If you know you got a problem with a little marijuana, a little weed, you ain't going to the marijuana festival. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. All right. All right. You're not going there. You're not going there. All right. But we have a whole people not knowing that we got a predisposition to sexual sin. And so we're not making adjustments to live holy. Oh, my goodness. Wait, y'all. Come on, y'all. Come on, Lord. All right. All right. Look. Let me go down something for you. Y'all still up? Yeah. Let me show you the life of a Hebrew girl or Hebrew boy. Let me open the door and show you the life. All right, Hebrew boy or baby girl born in a hospital. All right, now 70% chance that it's single parent. Mama not married, she born out of wedlock. She gonna grow up, and you know the way the devil work, usually the baby mom and the baby daddy don't stay together long. So now mama being with this man and baby watching daddy come in and another man come in and another man come in. So they watching as small a culture of fornication and a lack of commitment. This is I'm being real with you. Now, if you're born with mama and daddy, your testimony is going to be different. You should see things a little different. All right? So then, baby Hebrew, amen, is sat in front of the TV like all the babies. So they see in fornication in real life. And guess when they sit them in front of the TV, what they see? Fornication. Yeah, but they watch the cartoons, but what about the commercials? And what about you think they too young to watch what you watching, but they watching what you watching. Can you remember some of the things you saw when you were small on mama and daddy TV? Oh, it was bad. That's how they grow up. So we growing up, right? Now, we supposed to be pure and faithful and not fornicate just with that beginning. But no, it keep going. So we see sexual images on TV all day. Then we get into the music video. We watching BET with our parents. And those music stars that we watch out, let our kids watch, the dances that we think cute, as we watch our kids learn these dances, they watching these women and you think these little boys not subject to lust. No. The devil's storing up stuff. They got stuff that I remember that I, listen, a man's mind is different from a woman's mind. We could see something at 6 and still remember it today. You see the men clap, the women like, I don't understand that. Because you don't understand the struggle. All right, we growing up. We get to middle school, and a Mackler Hart got a dance. Who remember the dances over there? It wasn't church going on over there either. Anybody remember the skating rink? Babe, you better put your hand down right now. Now listen, we in middle school and we had these dances. Now remember all of the dances that we learned. The skating ring on the wall. Oh, all right. Now listen, this is how we growing up without God in Hebrew culture. All right. Dances at the Cajun Dome. All right. Now then y'all, we go to high school. And his own. All right. We go to high school, all right, and all they talk about at school is that. The kids, the teachers teaching it now, school promoting it. They begin to let us feel like we somehow a square, a nerd, a geek, if we, the V word, a virgin. So kids began to do that. Or lie about doing it. You know? Some boys lie for years. Oh, yeah. Some lying now in here. And they're not laughing while I'm telling this joke. That's how you could tell the one. Listen. Then you buy that child a phone. Now, why would you ever give your child a phone? Brother Mike texts me. I don't get emojis, but I don't get pornography either. Picture's not too, my graphic's not that good, but it ain't no sin going on with it. You know what I'm saying? So you get that kid a phone. Now listen to me, for the naive parents. I know we got to go, but for the naive parents, listen. If your child have a phone and they are a little boy, they looking at pornography. Oh, they're going to hate me after this. Some of the girls doing it too. Y'all don't know. In fact, some of y'all think they're virgins and they're not. Y'all don't know. Y'all don't know. Y'all don't even know. Y'all don't know. Y'all don't even know. Y'all not watching them. You're not. Man, listen, man. What's going to stop a young man from looking at that? You don't know the depravity of the human heart. What's going to stop him? When grown men that save can't stop themselves. And you paying the phone bill. Keep on. Y'all come here for entertainment. Y'all gonna leave here, take this message, not do anything about the phones, not do anything about the movies they watch, not do anything about what you watch, and guess what? Guess what's gonna happen? They're gonna end up in sexual morality like all the other Hebrew boys and girls. To be different, we gotta do something different. We gotta do something different. We gotta say enough is enough. I'm not paying for that no more. You're gonna get your flip, you're gonna get your something. You're gonna have to send me a smoke signal when it's time to pick you up. Or you're going to have to do what they did with you, the school for it. Hello? The devil has allowed us to make these things necessities. They need one. Now, we tell people, we say Grace and Annalise not getting that. They're just not getting it. Well, how are they going to be? I never put no age. They're not getting one. Oh, they're gonna be square. Nah, it's not that. They're gonna be traveled. They're gonna do things that other kids never gonna do. But it's gonna be in holiness. It's gonna be in blessing. It's gonna, you know, and they're gonna be ready and pure for their husband. So help us, God. We gonna do all that we can do. All right? I know some things gonna happen even when you do all you can do, but we gonna do all that we can do. Right now, what I'm pleading with you with is that you're not doing all you can do. Just not doing it, man. Babe, now you the principal, babe. What grade they started looking at that, babe? Second grade, she telling me. Why have you forgotten yourself? You remember what you was doing in the second grade? You remember what you was talking about? You remember mama and daddy and doctor? Why have you all of a sudden forgotten yourself? I know it seems intense, y'all, but I'm fighting for a people, y'all. I'm. Listen, man. Listen. You see, I see a root cause. I see single homes. I see a more propensity to poverty, to dropping out of school. I see a higher propensity to repeat. Amen. Preteen pregnancy. All of it stemming from this lust issue, this sexual immorality issue. And listen, we have not been able to solve this thing. It's not getting better. This is my prayer, and I'm going to end. This is my prayer. I understand as a people we have a weakness, like all people groups. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, God gives us hope. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. What I've come to learn about Christianity is that when you get saved, you begin to rely upon God in your areas of weakness. That area of weakness that you rely upon God's strength can quickly become your strongest area. It can become your strongest area because Paul says it like this in the next verse, when I am weak, I am strong. Because in all my other areas, I'm relying upon me. But on this one, in this one area, I'm relying upon God. Our greatest problem, Hebrews, could become our greatest asset to the nations. The other nations can't see what the media and the TV and videos and phones, they can't see. They can't look beyond capitalism and money and those things. They can't see what these things are doing, not just to our children. It's doing it worse to our children, but to all the children. They can't see it. They can't see it. But because we are so sensitive to it, we can see it. And we can change it in us. We can change it in us. We can change it in us. And may eventually change the way a nation does business. Bring it back to the times when you couldn't do everything on TV. And say everything on TV. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. I don't have nothing to say. I can't say nothing else. I'm not getting to the third point. You know? I'm not getting to it. But don't go home and be naive, no. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much, God.